Good morning. I've known the gentleman to my left for more than 20 years, and we've held multiple duties together and done many things in baseball together. And today I'm here to announce Dan Jennings as the next manager of the Miami Marlins.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. First of all, welcome to everyone. I appreciate you guys coming out for this. There's really element of surprise to everybody here regarding this press conference and this move. I'm extremely honored that Jeffrey Loria, David Sampson, and Michael Hill have shown this type of trust and faith in me to put me in this position. It's an honor and certainly a privilege to be able to lead this team that I had a hand in putting together, and I'm looking forward today to addressing this group of men, the staff, and moving down the road towards the ultimate goal, and that's to play in October. So thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, David. And I look forward to the opportunity and the challenge.
Questions for Michael, Dan, and David. Please state your name and affiliation.
Dan, Paul Mansell with WPLG. Just on the surface, it seems like a realm, to get a guy to the end is unprecedented, so to speak. What do you think allows you to have that experience of being on the field manager in your background, obviously, in the front office?
It's a great question, and it is out of the box. I will not deny that. I've always considered myself now 31 years in the game as a baseball man. I look around the league, and I have relationship with a lot of managers that are in the big leagues, have great respect for them, have friendships with quite a few of them. And I respect that position because in my time I know how hard these men have worked to get there. I also know that a lot of them take different avenues to arrive in that seat. This is definitely a different avenue to arrive in this chair. And as I said, I've considered myself a baseball man. There are other people who have ascended to general manager that arrive at different ways as well. And again, I have tremendous respect for the position of a major league manager, and the men that I've been around and had the opportunity to befriend, the lessons and the things that they've shared with me over time will certainly help. And I'm not naive enough to think that I can go down there and do this on my own. There is a very, very capable staff here. And we brought in a gentleman who I've known for 30 years, Mike Goff, to be the bench coach. He has experience as a major league bench coach. And so we are willing to accept this challenge and move forward in the right direction.
Danny, I've been buried with CBS for Miami. Since you've never played or managed in the big leagues, how do you plan to get the respect of the players?
Jim, today we're going to have a meeting. And that, for me, was the biggest obstacle or issue that I shared with Jeffrey and David and Michael. I have tremendous respect and very good relationships with quite a few of our players. And I believe in the mindset that you give respect to get respect. And the one thing I'm certain of, managers do not win games in this league, but you can certainly lose them. But you have to have the respect of your men, and you have to put them first. This game is about the players. And I've been fortunate and lucky enough to been taught that in an early stage, and try to always make that the common denominator of all the thoughts and the decisions that I make.
Dan's our manager for the remainder of the season. And as we do with everything, we reevaluate at the end of the season. But our expectation is, you know, this will go on as long as it's going to go, you know. And just to speak to some of, you know, the things that DJ talked about, you don't change managers. You don't go into that decision and very lightly. I mean, this was a long process in our minds because it is major. It is out of the box. And if we didn't feel like we had the right person with the right skill sets to motivate and spark this club, we wouldn't have made the change. As I said, I've known DJ for over 20 years in the game. He brings over 30 years of experience to this game. And as we looked at what we felt like this team needed to get itself going, we wanted a leader. We wanted a motivator. We wanted someone knowledgeable in the game. And there's no better person than I can think of than the man next to me. We wanted someone who knew our players. And there's no one who knew them better than DJ. He was a part of every decision that was made in bringing these players here. He has a relationship with our players. We didn't want someone from outside to come in to get this ship right. We wanted someone who had an intimate knowledge of our club and how we ticked, and who knew in our minds how to push the right buttons to get us going. And so,
and that's actually the story of how this came together. I just want to make sure that it's clear to everyone out there that when you talk about an out-of-the-box managerial move, when Michael and Dan and I sat down and were talking about the club and talking about what we thought was needed, this happened very organically, that we were going through different traits that we were looking for. We were looking for someone who had an absolute knowledge of our team, an absolute baseball knowledge, the ability to understand how to motivate and get players to get the most they can out of their skills and abilities. And as we continued to talk, it hit us very, very naturally that it actually was Dan. And I'm looking at Dan's wife, Lori, and I know that I want to welcome you here today and tell you that I appreciate the role you play in all of this, the many hours we spend on the phone with Dan and all the crazy schedules we have. So thank you, and I know your son is here as well, Dan. But I just can tell you that with Dan to my right and how the team will run going forward, having Dan in the clubhouse and as manager, his responsibilities will be on the field, but at the same time, he will be continue to be as active as he's always been in how we put this team together. And it will just be even better for our franchise that he'll have a unique ability of what's happening from more and more different vantage points. And his ability to take that information, filter it with the experience that Mike Goff has on the bench side and the staff that has been put together already, we think from an in-season standpoint, this makes sense because this season's not over by any stretch. We're 38 games in. We have 124 to go. And the expectations that we had as an organization aren't changed because we're six games under. They remain the same and they remain strong. And as far as for how long, they're all signed through 2018. And that continues to be the case and has not changed today.
First of all, what we're missing, Joe, as a team is consistency. We've shown the ability, winning 9 out of 10. We got off to a slow start, and then we go win 9 out of 10, and then we go on the road, and we play some very good games against some tough teams, and could have easily had a 7-3 road trip. It didn't turn out to be that. So there's a level of consistency. This team was put together in a certain way for a reason. It was not by accident that a lot of these players are here. They have postseason experience. There is a mixture of veterans to go with some of the young players that were here. And these guys now just need to believe that they're a good team. And I think that this will be the message as we go forward. As far as the front office and the inside the clubhouse and blending that together, again, I'll go back to, you know, I have, and I know Mike does as well, maybe it's a little unconventional the way that we try to build relationships and rapport with these players, but I think in doing that, It creates a respect factor. You know, these guys are the best in the world at what they do. And you try to build a rapport with them. You want to know more about them than just the stats on the back of their card. You want to get to know them as people and their families and what makes them tick. And I think we pride ourselves in doing that and maybe breaking some of the barriers that normally are in place from a, quote, front office to the clubhouse mindset. No, the way it happened is we had these two guys were on the telephone, and they tried to reach out to me, and I missed the call, and I called back, and the conversation started about where we are right now, what we're potentially missing right now, and then we included Jeffrey on the call. And as the call unfolded, it was said, listen to what we're saying. Listen to the things that we feel like we need. DJ, you can provide that. And, you know, at first, very flattered. The things that I heard, it was great. Then there was some soul searching on my part for the very reasons of the fact that I have never played in the big leagues or coached in the big leagues or managed in the big leagues or even the minor leagues. So in my heart and with my beautiful wife, Lori, and my family, I had to get right with that with us before I would even consider it. I told them that the only way I would consider it is if Mike Goff were to be removed from our advanced scouting position to the bench coach. And we said, look, let's let this rest for 24 to 48 hours, and then we'll decide what's the right thing. And I must tell you, even my mom, who I love, she asked me, am I crazy? Or have you lost your mind? So, you know, I come from a family with a father who's a coach. He's been coaching almost 50 years. We had one motto in our house as I was growing up, and that is, you can't win if you're afraid to lose. So when I heard what these guys said and the way they proposed it, and in my heart, this is a playoff team. I love those kids in that clubhouse, and I respect them and what they mean and why they're here, and that's the message that is now my job to convey to them, and hopefully their abilities will rise and they do what they're capable of doing. Well, obviously having Michael Hill here, who for me is I don't know that there is a more intelligent gentleman in this game. My primary focus now, other than being included in calls regarding trades or player moves from AA, AAA, will strictly be inside that clubhouse and putting a game plan together that helps the Miami Marlins win nightly.
Joe, I think that's why this decision, you know, once we started to talk things through, I think that's why it made so much sense. When you start to look at how you put a team together, your manager is a part of that process. But in DJ, he brings a different skill set with his evaluative background. So he obviously brings a different feel. But from a communication standpoint, nothing will change. I speak to him about as much as I speak to my wife, honestly. I mean, we spend so much time together. That's really what cemented the decision, at least in my mind. When you think about what you want and what you're trying to accomplish, we felt like we needed a different voice to try to get these guys going. And the voice was very loud and clear that person should be Dan Jennings. If we didn't think it would work, we wouldn't be sitting here, Joe. honestly. That is why we're sitting here, because we feel like we have the right man to do the job to get us where we think we're capable of going. And as I said yesterday, there's still supreme confidence in this roster, in the roster that we put together. For whatever reason, we haven't played consistently, and that is DJ's job now moving forward, is to get the most out of these guys to play to the level that we all feel that they're capable of playing.
No, John, that's a great question. It's a fair question, and I will tell you, I have never shied away or been afraid of challenges. And after the things that were said on the call and the conversations that ensued days after, I accepted this position because my heart is in that clubhouse, and I absolutely welcome the opportunity to crawl in the foxhole with those men in that clubhouse.
Yeah, from our standpoint, there were not other guys contacted, and the way it happened exactly was, as DJ said, as we were on a phone call, and we had this epiphany and brought it to Jeffrey, and Jeffrey was amenable. And that's been a big thing this season and this offseason with Dan and Mike at the helm, and how the team was put together, and the role that Jeffrey has played, as always, is he is involved and interested but wants to win desperately and has people who can help that happen. The concern that we all had when we were looking at the team, and, you know, we've known Red for 12 years, more since, for 13 years. And this was about a different voice, and this was about definitely appreciating what Red had done through a tough period in 13 and the improvement we saw last year. But what we didn't see is what we thought was going to happen so far this year, both, you know, on and off the field. And that's all Jeffrey wanted. He wanted to know, what are your suggestions? What are you doing to make it better? And when we came to him with what we came up with, it clicked for him very quickly. And as far as the stability, John, I just want to address that. The stability is the same for DJ, whether he's manager or general manager. You know, we're all here in the family, in the Marlins family. Do we all know what tomorrow is? No. We all know how long our contracts are, but that doesn't mean anything, right? We are a results-driven business. And we've all looked in the mirror. You know, Dan told me something last night that was critical. He looked in the mirror as GM last night, and he looked in the mirror as manager this morning. And you're still looking at your own face. And the decisions we made and the group of guys we put together, we all take responsibility for that, not just one person. The Marlins always comply with the Manfred memo of all kinds. I spoke to the commissioner. Jeffrey spoke to the commissioner yesterday. I spoke to the commissioner this morning. This is an in-season change. Dan was the only candidate that was considered to take over at this time. And so every memo was complied with.
Dan,
what's
the head check? Dan, you talked about that you got the phone call. What day was the phone call? And the second part of the question is, what makes it so sure that maybe this haven't overestimated the roster?
The roster is a belief, and I base that on 31 years of going out and evaluating ability and utilizing the people that we have in this organization and their reports and what they have been able to supply Mike and I as we put it together. As far as the day,
we were just talking about that, Dan. I don't mean to interrupt. We were just talking about the day of the phone call, because we talk every day so much that the three of us could not come up with the day. Because we were thinking what city we're in, where are we standing? Because it may sound crazy to you, Jim, but we're literally on the phone all day till all hours of the night. And just this morning, because we thought that question would come up, and I didn't have a day. We've been talking about the team since the 3-11 start, no question about it. and talking about what we need to be doing on the player side and on every side. So the exact conversation with Jeffrey was not more than a week ago, going through everything that we thought was going to happen. But even then, it was not finalized and crystallized. That's within days, not weeks.
The club is better, Josh, because of who Dan Jennings is. And the qualities that he brought to the job as general manager are the same ones that he's going to take to the dugout. As he has said, he and I both share in a supreme belief in the players in that dugout. And he's DJ. And he is a leader of men. He is a motivator. He's inspirational. And he's energetic, as Joe said. And those are the qualities that we want to impart on our club, because we don't feel like we're playing to the level that we're capable of playing. He is intimate with the roster. He has those relationships that no one outside of baseball, outside of our organization, could have brought to the table. We will handle the day-to-day GM responsibilities. We have a very talented, we've grown our front office staff. We will handle the day-to-day responsibilities of Dan Jennings. We felt it was most important because we all live and die by what happens 162 days and nights over the course of the season. And we wanted to put that energy and that message in the dugout to get us where we want to go.
Dave was interrupted once. Did you? Who batted cleanup?
Great question, Dave. I had a very short career as a minor league player. I got released, married my beautiful wife, which is still today the best draft pick I ever found or signed, and luckily was able to obtain a job. And in that job was high school coaching, and that lasted for 3 years before I became involved in professional baseball. To answer your question, no, there's never been a night that I went to bed and go, you know, I really aspire to be a major league manager. I've always been intrigued by it. For 30 years, I've sat behind home plate and quite honestly have probably managed the game from that spot for both teams, trying to learn, trying to watch the guys who I've had tremendous respect for over time, how they handle their ball club, how they ran the game. But no, to sit here and tell you that as a young child I aspired to be a major league manager, no, I did not. But I do feel very fortunate to have grown in a home with a father who is a coach, who's been a motivator and a leader of men, who is still doing that now at 77 years old. And I think a lot of the lessons that he's imparted upon me has set a foundation of which I base my motivation, my leadership, and my now managerial style upon. Here, allow me, please. Again, I told you, my own mother says, really? I mean, really? So there's going to be cynics. There's going to be critics. If I was sitting in your chairs, absolutely. And I fully expect to be judged on the body of work that we will accomplish and pursue on that field nightly. And you know what? It is outside the box. It's unconventional. There are so many words that you can use to describe this move. I will tell you that it takes courage from an owner and a club president and a president of baseball operations to entrust this responsibility upon someone without any of those credentials that are important. But as I alluded to, there are a lot of managers that arrive in that chair via different path. And we now have a new path that we can talk about for someone to sit in that seat.
Okay, we're going to break down for one-on-ones. We will let DJ start his preparations for tonight's game. He will be available at 4 o'clock in the dugout in uniform. So Mike and David will be available for one-on-ones.
26. I'll tell you why. Because I believe in that group of men down there so much that the 26th man is the manager. The manager is not more important. And as I said, managers can only lose games. The players win them.
You've been listening to a live press conference from Marlins Park announcing General Manager Dan Jennings as the new manager of the Miami Marlins. We now return you to the Dan Patrick Show, already in progress.